Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hello everyone, it's Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It's wonderful to have your company for another episode of our show. Now, if you want to have a business that runs on rails, if you want a business that's a turnkey operation that allows you to go away on a holiday, to take some time out, while the business still takes great care of your patients, still turns a great profit, and you get to have time freedom as well, then you're going to want to listen to this podcast. Now, my guest today is Pete Moore, and Pete has operated businesses in all manner of different industries, from cleaning businesses to refurbishing businesses to shoe stores. And what he's been able to do is to codify what really allows a business to work, what allows the business to run on rails, what allows it to operate while you're not there. And in this podcast, we talk about five things particularly which drive that process for you. So you're going to want to have a listen to this episode and take some great notes. There's some really cool bits of information here, and I know you're going to get a ton out of it. Now, if you want to have a business that is scalable and valuable and everything in between, whether you want to have more income in your life, have more time in your life, more freedom overall, then I'm going to encourage you to also, once you've listened to this podcast, come across to the Savvy Dentist Facebook group. And in that group, you're going to find some tools, some training, some tips that'll help you on your journey. And to complement that, again, also head to Pete's website, which is called simplifyingentrepreneurship.com, and you'll get some resources there as well. So here at Savvy Dentist, we want to help you create a business and a life, not just a business. So I hope you enjoy this episode. See you in the Facebook group. We'll catch you on the other side. Pete, thank you so much for taking the time to come and join us on the Savvy Dentist podcast. How's things with you, my friend?
Awesome. I'm excited to be here with you today, Jesse.
Oh, well, thank you for making the time. And I can't help but, I can't start the podcast without remarking upon the mandolin and the guitar sitting behind you. And I wanted to ask you a little bit about those lovely instruments because though I can't play an instrument, I grew up with a father who plays guitar, so I've seen guitars and they're almost like pieces of art. And that mandolin in particular is a beautiful looking instrument.
Thank you. Well, it's actually a 1936 Gibson A model, and it's I have played in a bluegrass band for 25 years, various bluegrass bands, and I've had this one probably for about 15. And it's just, they're an interesting sort of unique instrument. And it's just, I love picking it up and playing fiddle tunes on it and things like that. And it's a percussive instrument, even though it's a stringed instrument. Uh-huh. It's actually more of a percussive instrument in a bluegrass band because bluegrass bands don't have any drums. So you're actually more of a percussive instrument in that. And you're picking leads and stuff like that too. But it's not sort of a full ringing instrument like the guitar that's here too, where you're getting sort of the full tones of an acoustic guitar, but love acoustic music. It's just, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I play electric too, but acoustic's where my heart's at.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, perhaps one day I might be able to come across there and watch you play because I love watching any music, and I love bluegrass as well. Your world is really about entrepreneurship these days, and your website is Simplifying Entrepreneurship, which is .com, I should say, which is a bit of a mouthful. But I wanted to ask you about music and entrepreneurship and what that junction is like. What's that intersection like for you? What did you learn from music that has been important for entrepreneurship? And equally, what have you taken from business and been able to apply to your music, if there is anything?
For me, entrepreneurs are often so busy and, you know, they're working all the time, they're doing different things, and they're not actually taking maybe as much free time as they should. So for me, music has always been an outlet for me to force me to actually relax, spend time with some friends, because I really like playing. One of the things I like about music, Jesse, is it gets me together with my friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like I actually went and had a practice with my cousin last night, who's actually one of my best friends. And, you know, through all COVID, things weren't happening and all this other stuff for a while. And it's so great to be back playing music again. And it's like, hey, we're working out some harmonies again. We're trying some new songs. It gets your mind off and it gives you the creative juices, gets those creative juices flowing a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you can translate those back over to your business too. Because if you aren't getting any creative juices in your life, it's hard to be creative in your business as well.
I really like that. And just before we kind of get off the music and into the business stuff. Because I think this is really important, because watching my dad play music forever, it's like he gets into a flow state. And I like for watching my father play a guitar now, it's almost like watching him walk, because it's just part of his body. His muscle memory is so there. But what's interesting around that is the technical elements, the practice around it. And though I'm not musical, I get the same joy from playing tennis. And there's a technical element to it. There's a, you know, you've got to have your feet in the right position, your hips in the right position, all those sorts of things. The reason I'm bringing this up, it probably sounds a little bit, this is not how I intended to start our conversation, by the way. Totally gone off the path already before we got on the path. But what's interesting, as you say, is having that outlet, because it's not enough time. But I think having something else to focus your brain and body on, and that kind of brain-body intersection has been, I find, really helpful for me, at least. I don't know if you find that.
Couldn't agree more. And I think, you know, from a time management perspective, whatever that is for you, you know, the listener, if you're not doing something like that, playing tennis, I'm a squash player. I don't know, I'm not sure whether you play squash.
But
I love squash too. And so I don't play tennis as much, but I do like squash. And, you know, whatever that is, going to the gym, you know, taking a kayak, going for a mountain bike ride, you know, playing music or whatever the case is, but these different things that take you out of the norm, put you in a different sort of social setting and mental setting, so that your mindset is off of the regularities of what it is you're doing, you know, the next patient in the next chair and all the other stuff and all the stuff you're dealing with on, you know, receivables and, you know, all the things of running a business, it gets you out.
Yeah.
And from that perspective, the more you can actually plan that and book it, just like your next appointment, forces the fact that you're going to get out of that thought for a while. And it's very important when we look at our scheduling to say, okay, I call it focus time, free time, and flex time. Mm-hmm. And from that perspective, you need to have free time set aside so that you can enjoy that and be creative again. And we get stale as business owners over time.
Pete, we spoke at the beginning about taking time to pursue creative pursuits, to find those energies, those passions, and continue with them. Why is it that business owners in general, and dentists are no exception here, why is it that business owners either get stuck or trapped in their business and don't have that time? Or even if they're not stuck or trapped in their business, they still don't make the time?
Well, there's a variety of different reasons. And I think one is because it's habitual.
Mm.
It's been a habit. And, you know, when we first get going in the business, we've just bought the practice or we've started a new practice, whatever the case is, you know, we're all firing on all cylinders. And this is the normal startup phase. Like, this is normal. Doesn't matter whether you're a dentist or a retailer. I own some shoe stores, you know, like different businesses. We all have this startup phase, and the startup phase is full on. Mm-hmm. Unless you have really deep pockets and you can afford to pay whoever you need to pay, it's full on, you know, and so you're the one doing it. Well, that could happen for 1, 2, 3, 5 years. It's like we get into this habit of just, we're answering all the calls. We're answering all the, you know, we're dealing with all the decisions. We're all this kind of stuff. But you don't need to do that after you kind of break through the startup mode. And this is where we kind of get into one of my formats, which I call the 5 P's. And in setting this sort of thing up in alignment so that you're not making every small decision. I got this saying that I like to use. Decisions should be made at the lowest possible level of any organization.
Yeah.
This is the thing. If you're being dragged into low-level decisions as the business owner, as the practitioner, as the dentist, for most of us, the listeners are dentists, then you've got some work to do around this other stuff, because your time is more valuable than the lowest-level decisions in your organization.
100%. And it's really interesting. I think you spoke about habits as well, and how we kind of get into the habit of being the guy or the girl that's the answer person and doing all these things. So you mentioned the 5 P's, and we had a brief conversation about the 5 P's off air, and I thought it would be really useful for our audience to kind of dive into those 5 P's and explore them and explain them and really apply them to dental practice, because dental practice is just, it's a business. It's like any other service-based business.
It's service.
And so, I thought perhaps we could start off with the 5 P's and run off with the first one, which is promise, right?
Yeah, it's the promise. And, you know, it's where everything begins. Because when there's no clarity, there's great words, right? There's A words, there's C words, there's P words in business.
Yeah.
And I usually wrap them around. But, you know, clarity is so important. And the clarity of your promise is how you communicate to not only to your team, but to your clients and to anybody else involved in your sphere of influence. Mm-hmm. So it all starts with the promise. And what is your promise? And for most dentists, it's pretty straightforward. It's like, what's the problem? How do we uniquely solve it so that my client can have a better life?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the piece that a lot of people miss. It's like, okay, well, yeah, we clean teeth and we fix teeth and we do dentures and we do braces and all the different things that are in dental practice. But at the same time, what's missed in particular in the marketing a lot of times is so that piece.
Mm.
And people feel the need, okay, I have a dental appointment next Tuesday for my regular cleaning, right?
Yep.
And I got my tag this morning that says, you know, fill out your COVID form and do this and this, and we'll see you on Tuesday.
Yep.
So, but at the same time, it's like, okay, well, it's a service. I'm just going in and it's blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, I've never got anything from my dentist that says, you know what? Because we're doing all this work for you, you're not going to experience these things, and you are going to experience a better life, you know? And so the promise really is tagged around this idea, understanding what the problem that your client is going through,
yeah.
What are your unique set of solutions that is different than anyone else, or at least different than the people you're up against locally.
Mm-hmm.
And like, how, what does that look like? Do you have a different experience? Do you have a different, you know, system? Do you have different processes? Are you a new wave dentist? Are you an old school dentist? Like, what's different? And how does it make their life better when they spend their $300 or $500 or $2,000 or $7,000 for a new pair of dentures, whatever the case is, right?
So I really want to hone in on this because the promise sounds like a really foundational piece, if I've understood it correctly.
And everything based on it.
Yeah. And so there's elements of marketing to this, but it's going to flow into delivery. It's going to flow into everything else, you know, people and processes and the other things that we'll come to in a moment. But I want to hone in on that so that part because you emphasize that and clearly it's a piece that often is missed.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you how you create that so that, you know, is there some thinking that goes into the so that? Is there, what's your experience when people come to you? Because I know you work with people to help them craft their promise.
Sure.
What's the art and the science of crafting the promise?
It's language. We could do another whole podcast on that.
Yeah. words are some of my favorite things. I'm going to tell you, I'm a word nerd.
I mean, I love crafting stuff like that. And so I'll flip it back just for fun. I'll flip it back to my retail stores.
Sure.
And, you know, I've got my promise down to 9 letters.
Oh, wow.
At our Shoetopia stores here in Canada. And those 9 letters are ooh, ah, and aha.
Ah.
So what do we deliver to our clients? We deliver ooh. And what does ooh mean? Ooh means when I look in the mirror with my new pair of shoes on, I'm like looking in the mirror and going, ooh, I look pretty good.
Yeah.
So that's the feel good.
Yep.
We want to deliver feel good, right?
Yep.
I look good and I feel good. So, that's the look good. The next part is the feel good. And when you're standing there, same pair of shoes in front of the mirror, you're closing your eyes now and you're going, these feel fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. We've delivered the look good. We've delivered the feel good.
Yep.
And on our wall, it says, what do we do at Shoetopia? We help you look good and feel fantastic, right?
Yeah.
So if we're delivering it through ooh and ah, so when we're literally working with clients, you know, and they're looking in the mirror, it's like, how do you feel? And they'll be like, these feel great. And it's like, oh, we delivered.
Yeah.
You know, we delivered. We deliver our promise. So we pepper in some of these things just in the sales process or in the marketing occasionally as well. And then the last 3 letters were aha. And aha is, I finally found the perfect pair of shoes that makes me look good and feel fantastic. Because usually I feel the ones that look good don't feel so great.
Yep.
The ones that feel great don't look so good.
Yep.
So, you know, we've created this. And so what we want them to do is feel this sort of feeling that when they pay us our money, right? It's 200 bucks for that pair of shoes.
Yep.
So, and they're walking out the door and they're looking back at the Shoetopia sign and they're saying, Shoetopia, they're my favorite shoe store. I'm coming back here next time I need a pair of shoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Delivered, yeah. Delivered the promise, right?
Yep.
And so that's the kind of thing that we want to do when we're thinking about the promise is how do we deliver that in the language and in the process, right? Which is down the product itself, which is P number two, the process, how are we actually delivering that? And I talked a little bit about, you know, we'll actually ask them when they're standing in front of the mirror, how do they feel and how do they look so that we can, you know, and if they aren't feeling fantastic, it's like, let's get something else. Let's work until you are.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And so these different things, and then how, you know, how's the end game played? Like they've paid their money. Remember, everybody pays their money and they're happy paying their money if they see a better life. Yeah. Not so happy if they don't.
100%. And this is really interesting because, you know, in 25 years of dentistry, I've never had a patient come in and say, hey, Jesse, I'm so happy to be here for my root canal, my crown, my filling, my whatever. No one wants the procedure. What they want is the happier life. They want the outcome, right? And look good, feel good is the outcome. Look good, feel great, I should say, is the outcome. And for us, it's the same sort of thing. They want to look good. They want to feel great. They want to be able to chew their food. They want to be able to do all those sorts of things.
Exactly. I'm in a lot of pain. When tomorrow, you will feel better. So one of the things might be a follow-up email the next day that basically says, hey, listen, I know you had a root canal or however long, I haven't had a root canal, however long the average heal period is, 3 days, 5 days, something like that, 3 days, 5 days later, the follow-up saying, hey, listen, you know, we did the root canal. We're following up with you to see how you feel. Is it better? Are your pains solved? Did we help you solve your pain?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, you did. And thank you. Oh, good. We delivered our promise.
Yep. And again, it's those words that matter. It's being intentional with the words that you've chosen to use. So P number one, promise, is a bit of a guiding start. So like our North Star, and that's what we're about. That's what we're going to be doing. And then, of course, the remaining four Ps come after that. And the second P is product, right? You alluded to that in a moment. In your case, it's shoes. In our case, it's dentistry. Mm-hmm.
So product or service, right?
Product or service, you know, yes.
I've owned many service businesses in the past as well. So that idea is making sure that the products and services that you offer actually align with the promise that you're making to your client.
Yeah.
Right? And sometimes your promising is too big and you don't have the product offering. Sometimes you have all these products that don't make any sense for your promise. It's like, those are the ones you need to parse off, right? Mm. Those are the services you need to let go. Do they make sense?
I really like that as well, because there is a place for simplifying. And again, your whole website is about simplifying entrepreneurship, which I know, you know you've got these wonderful frameworks. But again, simplifying your product or service offering is also part of that, right? So you can eliminate so that you can have a better ability to deliver on a particular promise, right?
I'll flip it back to our shoe stores again, just because they're near and dear to me.
Yeah.
You know, for many years, we sold kids' shoes. Well, we looked at our kids' shoes department, and it usually only sold about 2 weeks a year, which right now in Canada, we're kind of getting in the mode to go back to school next week after Labor Day.
Sure.
And so we would sell lots of kids' shoes at this time of year. And by the way, most of them went out on sale because the parents were expecting a sale, which means we weren't making as much money on those shoes, but we sold a lot at one given time. And then we didn't sell hardly anything for the rest of the year, but they're taking up shelf space. Or in your case, taking up an operating room or whatever the case is, right?
Yeah.
They're taking up space that wasn't valuable the rest of the year. It didn't make sense. That department in our store didn't make sense when we looked at the fiscal side of it. And we looked at some of the other stuff that we looked at it, you know, and we dropped that segment of our store. And what happened? We got a whole nother aisle for the stuff that does make sense. And we were selling a whole lot more to our ideal client, which is P number four, the people, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're actually doing a better job servicing them because we have better offering for them. And, you know, we get the odd person coming in saying, hey, you don't have kids' shoes anymore. Yeah, we don't. We let them go a few years ago because it just didn't make sense anymore.
Yeah.
But that was a business decision that had to be made. But it was an easy one.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing is sometimes though, I mean, it sounds easy when you explain it like that, but there'll be a whole bunch of people listening to this podcast saying, well, Jesse, I don't know that I could let go of a particular service or whatnot because my patients have come to expect it from me. And my comment to you is, you absolutely can. I haven't done, well, I don't practice dentistry so much anymore, but even when I was practicing, we stripped out a whole bunch of things that we didn't do, dentures being one, because I didn't like doing them. I wasn't particularly good at them. Our patients didn't need them so much. I can give that work to someone else.
Exactly. And you're doing them a favor by referring them to a specialist who's going to take care of their promise, the promise of the dentures, right? And so it's like you're actually helping your client go to somebody who's actually going to give them the service that they're looking for to give them the better life in that particular thing. So yeah, you don't get the denture job, but you've actually made a better, strengthened your relationship with that client to say that I can actually give you the referral to somebody who's going to do an even better job and get it done properly for you the first time. And at the same time, you're relieving yourself of the stuff you don't want to do anyway.
100% of the stress, the headaches. But interestingly as well, there's costs associated with it. You know, I'm going to use your shoe store because it's quite an obvious one. You've got not only shelf space, but you've got inventory costs. You've got all of those, you know, that's money sitting on the shelves that doesn't turn around, you know, over enough time. And you've got to be able to move that stock. And so it's the same with us. There's no point in me holding denture materials in our practice. But just don't use it. So it's great.
And you have a room. You have a room that you're using. And that room, the use of the time to prep up for all the dentures and all that stuff, is that good use of time? So, you know, you can block. The nice thing about dentistry is, you know, you've got seven rooms in your place and you can literally, there's a person attached and all this other stuff. It's very manageable to understand your numbers.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The thing I really like about dentistry is that you can nail down your numbers around your rooms because you actually have a room and a chair and an assistant and the practitioner, you know, the person who's in there, the dentist who's actually doing the work, and you can figure out all of your numbers. So if we're talking, this is our denture room and this is our cleaning room and this is our operating room, it's very simple to understand where the money is being made and where the money isn't. So when we look at our ratios and we look at the different things around our business, if we're trying to optimize, which is process, the third P, we're trying to optimize our process within our business to improve our profit, the last P, then these are all the different things that we need to look at for our business when we're doing an overarching sort of numbers and understanding. And also, are they aligning with everything? Are they aligning with that promise? Are they aligning with our client base or our people? You know, so important that all these things work together, and it's only when they work together that you enjoy more freedom in your business.
Yeah, I think there's a really good alignment piece there, because what we're talking about is the alignment between the promise, and we're talking about the alignment between that and the product or the service offering. And of course, what also needs to line up now is the remaining P's, and the third one being process. And you've touched on that. Can you just elaborate a little bit on what sort of processes are going to be required? How do you capture those processes, et cetera, et cetera?
It's not so much the process around, you know, how do we clean somebody or how do we, you know, operate and do a filling, because those, I think most of your audience have down pat.
Yeah.
It's more around the idea of process of how are we serving the customer? How are we looking at our things? Are we doing are we actually going back and looking at our numbers? It's more about that at this level, at the ownership level, we're kind of, do we have the right dashboards in place? Are we getting the right information that we need to actually make the decisions that we need to make in order to have a better business? And my philosophy around this is you own your business and it shouldn't own you. And if you're feeling as though you're being owned by your business and your business is taking up your life and you're not enjoying some of these other things, then these are the processes that you don't have honed down yet. And so what are they? Well, some of them would be like looking at your numbers around those different facilities that we talked about. Some of them would be better understanding of the processes of how you're hiring and firing, you know, your people management, right? And some of the processes are your marketing processes. Do you even have any marketing processes? You know, which I know a lot of dentists just kind of buy a book of business and roll with it, right? And It's kind of, whether you're an insurance agent, a dentist, or a doctor, it's like, hey, I'm going to buy the book and I don't need to market.
Well, interestingly, I would say when it comes to processes and marketing particularly, because this is something I feel pretty strongly about, is that my observation is, and I say this to be kind, because yeah, you go to dental school, no one teaches you a thing about business. No one teaches you how to, you know, develop people, how to market for patients, none of that, right? And so what ends up happening is that people undertake a series of activities under the broad umbrella of marketing or people or whatever. But there's no linkage, there's no strategy behind it, there's no cohesion behind it. And so what ends up happening, and I think this ties into a bit of why people get caught up being busy, in the sense that there's a bunch of activities going on, but there's no coordination. Does that make sense? Or am I?
Yeah. Coordination and communication.
Yes. Right?
And that's the other thing. A lot of people aren't taught how to communicate, right? So like, what is your meeting structure? That's a process, right? Now, like, what's your meeting structure? Is everybody clear? We started off talking about clarity. Is everybody clear about what it is what our goals are for the year, for the quarter, for the week, for the day? These kind of things. It's like, we need to have a meeting structure in place. We don't just meet to meet. We meet with purpose. Right? And when we talked about that promise keeps coming back up in almost every single meeting, because everybody needs to be fully aligned with the promise, because that's what we deliver day in and day out.
That's
also going to help you attract the right person. It's also going to help you repel the wrong person. If you keep saying, this is how we do it, and those people come in, so, you know, some of the people that you hire come in and they're like, this just isn't for me, they'll leave before you even ask them to leave.
and that's a good thing, right? Because
it's a great thing.
Yeah. We've got a framework we talk about called the Performance Culture Matrix, and I'm sure there's many variations of this probably by different names, right? And,
sure.
And equally, you know, you want people who are aligned with your promise. You want people who are aligned with your culture. You want people who are aligned, but you need them to be able to perform well. But if they're not aligned with that culture or that promise, like, it's almost like that's a deal breaker, right? It's a total deal breaker. You could be the most talented shoe person or dental person in the world, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've got a framework like that too. And it's one of the ones that I've got all sorts of different frameworks, but it's one of the ones that I use for hiring. And it's got to do with capability, capacity, confidence, and culture. Because confidence is an interesting one too, that a lot of people don't really look at. You know, are you underconfident? That's not good. Are you overconfident? That's not good either.
Yeah.
What's the confidence rating on this person? Because if you're overconfident and you're a know-it-all, that's not great for team culture, and that's often a blight in your business.
And it's not good in dentistry as well. I can tell you that you don't want a dentist who's overconfident. I watched it on YouTube, so therefore I know how to do it. So this is a small digression, because recently I took my daughter to see Top Gun Maverick, and and in preparation for that, we sat down and watched the original Top Gun movie from 1986.
Yeah.
And my favorite line from that whole movie is, "Son, your ego's writing checks your body can't cash." And this ties into that confidence piece a little bit.
Yeah.
I wanted to just move on to P number four, which is the people piece, because you made a really important comment earlier, and that is, people can be the biggest pain in the backside, or they can be your greatest asset that allows you to be free from the day-to-day operations of your business. Yeah. And yet, if I speak to nearly every business owner, it is probably the thing that they struggle most with.
Yeah.
Is that your experience too?
No.
No.
Speaking with others, yes.
Yes, sorry. Is that your experience about speaking with others? Yes. Is that a common thing in Canada?
It's a totally common thing.
Yeah. Okay. But it's obviously not something you
struggle
with.
I have to tell you, I am very grateful for my team. And I can tell you that I wouldn't be having this conversation. I wouldn't even have my coaching business if I didn't have awesome people.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And you know what? We have great retention. Mm-hmm. And here's an interesting thing. You know, take a look. In Canada, we call them T4s, but it's the document that wherever you're listening, and whether you're listening in the States or Australia or whatever the case is, but the document that you get for taxation at the end of the year, the employers hand them out to everybody that they've employed.
Yep.
So that year-end document, how many did you actually print off last year versus how many people are still working with you?
Hmm.
That is a very interesting statistic when we're thinking of talking about statistics a little bit today. A very interesting statistic, because if you've hired 40 people, but you only employ 12, you've got a problem.
You sure do. You sure do.
Right. If you're spitting out 40 of these at the end of the year, but there's only 12 people working in your business, then that problem probably isn't necessarily the fact that they don't want to work for a dentist. It's they don't want to work for you.
Do you think people quit businesses, or do you think they quit teams?
They quit leaders.
Yeah.
And so that's an eye-opening statistic to a lot of people when they look at that. For the longest time, one of my corporate goals is we want to, and retail's hard. Retail's hard to retain people.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a retention ratio of 75%. Year wow. after year.
That's great.
And I couldn't be more proud of that. And so when we look at that kind of stuff, how do you do that? Well, you do it with all the things we're talking about now, with making sure everybody's clear on the promise. Because when we talk about the promise at the interview stage, this is what we do. This is the ooh, ah, the aha. This is how we deliver. This like, and if you don't buy into that at that early stage, they just don't come for another interview. It's like, this isn't who I am. It's like, okay, that's good. I'd sooner not get you on the books and get you rolling for 1 or 2 weeks and then go back to the drawing board again, right?
Yeah, look, 100%, because we all know that team turnover is an incredibly costly thing. I'm curious to ask why retail is hard to retain people in general, because a lot of people say similar things about dentistry in Australia, and I'm curious to understand what the forces at play are there. And see if there's any parallels. Yeah.
There's a few. One, typically retail is a lower paying job.
Yeah.
Because it's not a professional type job like you guys deal with in the most cases, right? So that's the biggest one. The second one is that the hours are long.
Yeah.
So most retail stores are open, you know, a long time every day. They're not just 8 to 5 or 9 to 5 or 8 to 4 or whatever. They're from, you know, sometimes at grocery store from 7 in the morning until 10 or 11 at night. So, and as a retail employee, you're expected and to be able to work any of those shifts 7 days a week. So it's like my schedule could be changing around. Maybe I work Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and next week I work Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And so, and sometimes I'm working nights and sometimes I'm working mornings. And so you have this sort of flexibility of schedule, which to some people, they love it, because, you know, it's like, hey, can you book me for nights? Because my wife works during the day. And, you know, I'll take the weekends because my husband can be home on the weekend with the kids. Yeah. So there's benefits to it too, but it does have its sort of other things around it. And so, yeah, it's often hard to find the people that are looking for that kind of lifestyle, because that's typically what it revolves around. And then you have to have them interested in your type of retail and the way you deliver compared to somebody else. Like we're a customer service oriented store. We're not just come in and buy your light bulb and leave. It's, you know, we're sitting and fitting people and working with them sometimes for an hour to buy a pair of shoes. And, you know, it's like a one-on-one conversation. Well, some people don't like one-on-one. They prefer not, you know? So these are all the different things when we're hiring and firing, and we look at people, and I've got all sorts of different processes around people. But one of my favorite ones was, I'll just go back to another quick story. But I used to own a cleaning company.
Yep.
And it was called Sandy Service. We had it for 10 years, and we specifically cleaned sinks, toilets, and urinals.
Okay.
That's what we cleaned.
Yep.
So we'd go into variety of restaurants and all sorts of retail places and just do their sinks, toilets, and urinals because they never were done well.
Yep.
And then we'd look after air freshener and a variety of different things, paper products, and all the other things that go into bathrooms for, you know, 300 various businesses. Well, you know what? That's not the most glamorous job.
No, it's not.
I personally can tell you I've cleaned more urinals probably than everybody listening to this podcast times 10.
You know what? I'm not even going to try and compete with you because I don't even, that's, yeah, wow. Okay, there you go.
Okay.
Yep.
So how do we find somebody to clean urinals every day?
Yeah, what's the promise?
Right. So, but we started work early. We were done early. They worked on their own. So some people like to work on their own, right?
Yeah.
So we had to craft our messaging around who we were hiring, around what the benefits of this job were.
What's really coming up for me as well, Pete, is marketing.
Yeah, right? Totally.
We are talking about a marketing exercise, not just for our customers, but we're marketing for our team as well. Like, that's 100% what we're doing, right?
You do. That's why you need to have that promise down.
Yeah.
It's got to be down.
Yeah.
You know? And so we align this, and then how do we bring them on? Well, here's another way, and I think you should do this in your dental practice too.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who's listening, use discovery days. What is a discovery day? A discovery day is a working interview. Bring the person in for a second interview or third interview, depending on how you interview, whatever the case is, for a working interview somewhere in the vicinity of 2 hours. Have them sit in the chair. Have them look at your files. Have them, you know, you, at this time, you're getting the feedback. Are they the right cultural fit? Do they know what we're talking about? And like, if I use these technical terms, do they get it?
Yeah.
Do they understand? Actually say they get it. But now we're actually sitting in the table. We're sitting here with a client. And you know what? This person's observing, not necessarily doing, but there. And you're having these conversations in real life situations. So that's what I did with the cleaning company. Think of it.
Yeah.
We started at 5 a.m. Okay.
Yeah.
So the first step was, did they even make it in there for 5 a.m?
Yeah.
And if they didn't, we don't need you because we started at 5.
Yeah.
People would call and say, it's 5 after 5. It's like, where are you? It's like, hey, I told you, we leave at 5. We're gone.
Yeah.
Go home. Have a sleep.
Yeah.
Like, because if you can't show up on time, we can't use you.
Yeah.
Right? That's step one.
Yeah.
And so the step two is like, here's your kits. Like, can you get down on your hands and knees and do this kind of stuff? Like, can you actually physically? That's the capability part when we talked about capability and capacity. Do I think you could grow into this position after this 2-hour interview and we've had this chat about all this stuff? And then you look at the confidence. How confident are you here now? Now I'm getting a feel for your confidence because we're actually together. Right.
Mm-hmm.
In a real life setting. And then we look at that last piece. Are you a cultural fit for our team here?
Mm.
What a better way before you actually bring them on board. And people always ask, well, did you pay them for Discovery Day? I always paid them for Discovery Day if we hired them.
Yeah. Fair call.
If we didn't, we just shook hands and said, you know, good luck.
Yeah. And did you ever do multiple people on a Discovery Day? Have a couple of people come through on the same day?
I didn't, but I know several people, even that I've coached, that have. Just the kind of businesses that I ran, it was better to do the one-on-ones.
Yeah, got it.
I do believe that you could do that. And I've done this, by the way, for every... People say, I can't do that for this. But I've done it for every position. We've done it for bookkeepers. We've done it for store managers. We've done it for cleaners. We've done it for refinishers. We used to have a refinishing business for spraying bathtubs and all sorts of different stuff. I mean, I've done it for every position. There isn't a position that you can't do a discovery day for.
Yeah. I love that. So let's talk about the people piece as well, because I know accountability is important. We spoke off air about accountability charts versus the oldie worldie org chart.
Yeah,
so I wondered if we could just talk about accountability, the accountability chart, and what goes into creating accountability.
Such an important piece when we look at the structure of your people.
Mm.
So the people all break down in 3 different things: your ideal client, your staff, your team, and any of the outsourced suppliers that are helping you deliver your promise. So sometimes on the accountability chart, it may not even be a team member.
Mm.
You may actually be putting somebody who's an outsourced partner, like say a marketing service, to be the outsourced partner who's on your accountability chart and has the accountability of delivering marketing for your business. They're still on that accountability chart and they own that.
Yeah.
Side of things, right? So this idea of having an organizational chart with titles, but no accountability behind it is
redundant.
Yeah, it really is. So when you're putting somebody's name there, you have whatever it is, VP of operations, VP of marketing, finance, all these different things, or your head surgeons or whatever the case is in the dental practice, you're putting that name there. They have to have the accountability. If you're still making all those decisions, then they really aren't on the accountability chart. They're just another person. So when you offload those accountabilities, there needs to be all of the process around that. And, you know, I look at it, building accountability. Whenever we look at a problem that comes up, I have this another model called the 4 A's. And we need to assess it, whatever that problem is. You know, if somebody comes to you with a question, we need to assess what the question is, address it, then we need to align it and assign it. And until you get through those first three, you can't assign accountability.
No.
So you're probably, if you're the one they're coming to, you're going to have to assess that and address it and align it, which usually means build the process.
Yeah.
And then assign it. And that person that you're assigning it to, you have to let them have the accountability. You can't just keep digging back in. You actually have to release.
So this is a really interesting topic, Pete, and I think this is where a lot of dentists have struggles. And I know in the past I had plenty of struggles here too, and that is you hand over the accountability and, of course, you're watching things unfold and you can see an impending disaster or something not working, right? And then you worry about violating your promise. And so the tendency or the risk is, because most of us as dentists are perfectionistic in nature, most of us are high attention to detail
people.
All of those sorts of things.
For sure.
And so the tendency for us is often to go, well, let me just do it because then I know I'll do it well. But that's a trap, right? Because if you go back, you're going to be doing that forever. So how do you resist that temptation and how do you hand over that accountability but also make sure that we're fulfilling our promise?
Yeah. So a few things. I mean, this is another whole podcast, right? All of these little segments are completely big topics. But when you look at this kind of thing, usually if you feel you have to dig back in and you're asking yourself the question, why don't they just do it in a certain way? Like they should know how to do this. Mm. It's usually because your process isn't right.
Yeah.
You have to go back to the drawing board and you have to be more specific about the reasons why and tell them why. Like they need to know why. If you're asking them to make the decision, they need to know why they're making that decision, not just this is the way it is and, you know, that's just the way it is. Now, it doesn't work. You got to give them the reasons of why. And you have to give it to them also in the language that they understand.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Not like some people like to read process. Some people like to see process. Mm. I want a Loom video. I want to see it on my screen. Some people like to hear process. So think about how you're delivering your process. We try and have as much as we can documented in several different ways. Same documentation.
Yep. So you've got the written, the video, the audio, and off you go.
As much as we can. So it's very, very clear. Tie it back to the reason why it needs to be done this way so that they fully understand what the decision that they're making and the difference that it's going to make for your client.
Yeah, fantastic. So we've covered 4 of the 5 P's, Pete, and the fifth one, believe it or not, is P for Pete, but there's another important P that comes through, right? And what is that fifth P? Because I think, you know, from the point of view of the business owners, this is a really important P. Tell me what the fifth P is and really how it fits in with the remaining 4 or the previous 4.
Yeah. It's your profit.
Yeah.
It's why, what you're doing, right? So however many years ago, when you got into business, finished dental school and saying, okay, now I'm going to be a business owner. You probably had this dream. And the dream was, you know, my freedoms, whatever those are, they're uniquely yours. I want to live in the mountains. I want to have a place in Hawaii. I want to kiteboard the coast of Brazil. You know, whatever those dreams are, we need to set the business up to deliver those. Mm. And how does that happen? Well, it happens by having the right amount of profit.
Yeah.
So profit, people will say, well, I want to make more money, but why do you want to make more money? Mm. Let's dig deeper down into that. What is it? How is it going to make your life better? We're talking about the promise, right? So to make money just to make money, well, you know, everybody dies and money doesn't you know, it's not going to do anything when you're dead.
No.
So from that perspective, what do you need the more money for, or what do you want the more money for? And that's this idea of capturing what your better life looks like.
Mm.
And so you start planning a little bit and you're saying, hey, listen, I'd like to take a month off every year and I'd like to do this. And maybe I want to own some rental properties. Maybe I want to buy my kids a house, you know, whatever those things are in alignment of this stuff. And you're starting to say, I don't, you know, the money is the means to this sort of stuff.
Mm.
And, but a lot of people just say, well, I want more money. Well, that's a bit of a trap in itself, right? And so this idea is let's understand what it is you want the money for. Because to me, that profit, here's another thing, which I think is really interesting. And we see this in dentistry a lot. Burnout.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay? It's huge.
Burnout. So if you don't have your health, you can't run a healthy business. And I'm going to flow this back to my immediate family. My parents are aging, and my mom, I'm going to say about a year ago, she was lying in her bed and feeling absolutely terrible. And she said, there's one thing I want. I just want to feel better again.
Mm.
How much is money going to help that? It's not.
No, no.
So when we think about our business needs to drive our health, because if we don't have our health, both physical and mental, then we can't have a good business either. And we're not going to enjoy some of the benefits that we've worked so hard. So it starts with having the right health. And when you have the right health, then you can start enjoying and actually looking. And we talked about creativity a while ago.
Yeah.
If you're in good health, you can be creative. Things are bright and rosy. If you're not in good health, not so much.
When it comes to the profit piece, I really appreciate you sharing the fact that it's not just about more money for the sake of money. Because as Savvy Dentists, our mission is to help practice owners have a practice and a life that they love, not life that they love. You know? Because traditionally, what I found in dentistry, and I think this is true for other industries as well, is in the past there was an emphasis on making a financial return, but that usually came at the expense of the business owner's time, the business owner's happiness, the business owner's health. And so everyone's kind of sacrificing all of those things at the altar of the mighty dollar. And what I really appreciate about, if we get these five P's aligned, you know, if we go back to the promise, we get our product or our service right, we get our processes, you know, really documented well, whether it's in video, audio, or in written form, we train people on how to use those, we get the right people, whether it's our patients or our customers, our team and our vendors. If we get all those things right, we're going to make a profit, but it's not just any profit. It's about the right kind of profit that allows us to then go beyond just going, well, I made $1 million or whatever it is, but I've now got health, I've got well-being, I've got enjoyment, I've got satisfaction, all of those sorts of things. So we get the life part.
So important. I mean, we're only on this earth for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
And there's more to it than going to work every day and pounding out 60-hour weeks and making the almighty dollar, at least the way I look at it. And that's what I coach to as well. I mean, that's you know, you and I are in entire alignment there, Jesse, as far as, you know, I love working. I work a lot, but I work in what I call my love it zone, and I don't work in the areas that I don't love. And how do I know that? Because when I have these conversations with people like you, Jesse, when I have conversations with the people that I coach, I actually feel energized after that. I don't feel drained.
Yeah. I think that's the key, isn't it? Because if you're doing stuff that you love, you're absolutely right. It is enjoyable. I mean, for me, one of the greatest loves I have in the work that I do, and I'm like you, I love working. I enjoy working. Yeah. I work a lot, but I do it because I get to and I choose to, not because I have to.
Right.
And for me, one of the great joys is doing exactly this, and that is to have interesting conversations with interesting people. So Pete, your website, simplifyingentrepreneurship.com, has got a ton of resources there. I was looking through your blog, and ladies and gents, I want to tell you that go ahead and check out Pete's site. There's a whole bunch of things there. There's quizzes and things, but also pay particular attention to the blog articles because there's some really useful resources there. But go through and take the quiz and other things as well. So, Pete, if you were to leave the audience with a couple of, I guess, Pete-isms or the gospel according to Pete, what would that be?
There are so many. I think we've come across a few nuggets here today in our conversation. It's been a great conversation. And I think, you know, for your audience here, for the dentists out there, think about what that profit means to you. Think about your health. Think about your wealth. Think about your relationships, both personally and professionally. Think about those things that don't actually necessarily have the dollar attached to it, but that the dollar can help you with. As opposed to using the dollar as what it is. The dollar is just a means to get you what it is that you want and make that even better. So think about those kind of things. And when you set your business up by using some of these things and you get your business rolling on rails, what I like to call a turnkey business, where literally if you turn the key and left for a month, this business continues to roll. That's when you have the freedom that either, you know, you're, first of all, if you're looking to sell your practice, that's when your practice is most valuable.
Yep.
When you aren't needed there anymore, that's when it's the most valuable. And it's also a very interesting thing when people get their business to that state is that maybe you don't want to sell it anymore because you don't have, like, because the main reason you wanted to sell is because you didn't want to do that stuff every day.
I'm laughing because, Pete, I have to tell you, sorry, this was meant to be me wrapping up the podcast, but I have to tell you, I have had, so we have a model in our business, profitable, scalable, valuable, right? And I've got two clients come to mind as you're talking. I'm sorry to share this at the end, but they both said when they started working with me, I don't want to do any clinical dentistry. I just want to run the business. I don't want to do any wet-fingered dentistry ever again.
Yeah.
And okay, great. So we engineered the business and they went from doing, you know, I think 4.5 days to 4 days to 3.5 to 3 to 2 to 1. And now both of them have independently said, actually, do you know what? Now that I'm only doing the stuff that I love to do, I'm happy to do that and I get some joy out of that, but I don't have to do the other stuff anymore. So I really appreciate you saying that because you're right. When you're not needed in your business and they're not needed in theirs, it becomes fun and they love it. And they're going, great, I've created my ultimate business. It's fantastic.
So I have a philosophy that I really don't ever want to retire.
Yeah.
So long as I'm doing what I love, why would I ever want to retire?
100%.
So love it or leave it, I guess, is the last, this last phrase that we can use. And it's a model that I have in a whole framework around the people that I work with. It's like, okay, what do you love and what do you want to leave? And let's start parsing that stuff off. So think about what you love to do and what you want to start parsing off. And then look at this profit portion and better understand what it is you want to do with that so that you can set this business up and use your business as your foundation to give you a better life.
Pete, thank you so much for taking the time to come and hang with us today. You're a very generous man. And I just want to say thank you for having such a good time on the podcast. I enjoyed it immensely. And
awesome.
Yeah, let's do it again.
It's a lot of fun. I'd love to do it again. Let's do that.
Yeah. And I definitely want to come back and hear some bluegrass too.
Cool. We'll figure something out.
We will. All right, Pete. Well, thank you once again, mate, and take good care and appreciate you.
Thanks, Jesse.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.